Do you or your partner have problems expressing your emotions in your relationship? Today, we're going to be talking about expressing yourself in your relationship, what stops some people from being able to do that, and how you can do it more effectively. If you'd like to find out more about how to improve your relationships, head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where we have lots of free resources and our online course, The Relationship Maze. You can also take our conflict style quiz, where you can discover your conflict style in relationships and how you can improve it. And press subscribe right now. Welcome to this episode of The Relationship Maze. And today we're going to be talking about how to express yourself better in your relationship, or really, what are the reasons why some people struggle to express themselves in their relationships? So why is it that people struggle to express themselves in their relationships?
Okay, well, I mean, it depends a little bit on the emotion. So, you know, when we're talking about emotions, so it might be that some partners find it very, very difficult to express their love. Yeah, so emotions, feelings to do with love. Others might really struggle to express any kind of feelings around anger, for example. If they're really frustrated with their partner, they might express it in a way that's a little bit more indirect, through passive-aggressive remarks, for example, through sulking, rather than sort of really, you know, showing their anger to their partner. So why is that? Well, there could be a number of reasons. It depends a little bit on what you've learned about emotions and what's safe to express and what isn't.
Yeah, and I suppose actually just from what you were saying as well, I suppose maybe even before we go into why, I know I said why do, we hear sort of, you know, the problems that it causes. Because, I mean, you know, that's the key thing is, you know, so what if you don't express your emotions? Is that a problem? Mm. And, you know, certainly I think for a lot of couples, that's a huge problem is, you know, not being able to express how they're feeling. I mean, whether that's, like you said, love or anger. And, you know, and that's different to a different extent. I mean, you know, sort of in a relationship, if you're in a loving relationship, being able to express that you love somebody, I think, is a very important thing.
Mm, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, some people go through years and years without doing that and just assuming that the other person knows. Mm. And I, you know, I sometimes wonder, maybe the other person does think that they know, but sometimes you don't really know.
Yeah, so this question, the question here is like, why does it matter, right, whether emotions are expressed or not? Well, I mean, they give some information to the other, right? So if you never show me any emotions, then I'm completely reliant then on anything that you communicate otherwise by telling me factually, for example, this is what I am experiencing, or this is how I think about a particular situation. And I'm not really, I'm kind of sort of a little bit in the dark then, even if I get some factual information, I'm not really feeling attuned to you if I don't know what your emotional experiences are. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, words is the way that we tend to do that. We give meaning to our experience through language. And, you know, I suppose that's the thing that, you know, many people I've spoken to or kind of worked with may have, for example, grown up in a family where the family never said that they loved them. Mm-hmm. So there's that underlying assumption that they do. But do you really know somebody? I mean, how do you know somebody loves you if they don't actually say it?
Well, I wonder. I mean, like, I'm thinking about my parents. I don't think they say that, but I know it. So it's interesting, isn't it? Mm. It's implicit. It's in all their interactions with me, is the way, in the way that they look at me, in the way that they talk to me, in the way that they behave with me. I know that I'm being loved by my parents. Mm. So it's interesting. Even though they wouldn't say directly, you know, I love you. It's not language that we used in my family. Interesting.
Yeah. But I suppose that is the different ways that we interact in terms of whether it's, you know, we've talked in other podcasts about whether it's showing love or whether it's hearing or whether it's that feeling. And I suppose you can do that. But ultimately, at some level, you know, those words are, you know, I think add something perhaps to a lot of people. I mean, I certainly know people who have grown up with families who didn't say that they loved them. They kind of believe that parents love them, but there was still that little bit of uncertainty because they never heard the words.
Sure, and maybe there was a lack of emotional expression by other means. Because I think emotions can be expressed not just through language. You can feel the feeling. Emotions are contagious. We talk about emotional contagion, yeah, in the field of psychology. So they kind of they spill over. If there's love, if there's a lot of an expression of love, I think you can pick it up without somebody actually saying that. So I think emotions, feelings can be expressed non-verbally as well.
I think to some extent, but at the same time, how do you really know that we're not projecting that?
Yeah.
Because unless we hear the words, then we may be thinking, I feel this love, but is that really coming from me or from them? And for me, the words are an important part of that. It's, you know, and why, you know, and that's the thing we're talking about. Why do people not express these things, maybe verbally? Mm-hmm. What would stop somebody from expressing these emotions? Mm.
I think maybe there's also a distinction here. I think in an adult relationship, it might be more important to have these clarifications. I think there's also a difference, from my perspective, between the unconditional love that parents have, you know, for their children, ideally. I know that not all parents do, but most parents do. So maybe love in that context is experienced in a different way. Whereas I think in couple relationships, I don't think the love is unconditional. Mm. It's tied in with, I love you, but I want to be loved back. Yeah. So maybe that's why there is a different kind of transaction, so to speak, and therefore it needs to be verbalized more.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I still think actually in lots of parent-child relationships, there still is that wanting to be loved back.
Sure.
That actually if they felt totally unloved, then, you know, I've seen parents who basically fall out with their kids because they don't feel that that's coming back. And, you know, of course, that's what we might say is not what would be desirable. But, you know, I have seen this happen quite frequently. So I think when you're talking about unconditional love, you know, I wonder if it always is completely unconditional. It might be for some people, but I still think there is that level of, when we give love, we often do want it back. I mean, I suppose the true love would be where we can give love and not have to receive it back. But the reality is, a lot of the time, you know, we give love, but we do also want something back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can have a long discussion about that. I think that's sidetracking now from our initial discussion here, which is about expressions and why it might be difficult to express love. So we were talking about growing up in a household, growing up in a family where this wasn't verbalized, where it wasn't verbalized and maybe it wasn't even shown either. Mm. And therefore, or maybe there was an association with risk. If I express love, then there might be a response that is less than favorable. Mm. Maybe that's somewhere along the lines that was learned in that family.
So that could be something, and this might apply to other emotions as well, maybe not just love, but maybe anger or some other feelings too, but where there's a fear of expressing it, because what will be the consequences? Mm. So like you said, if I express love, will I get rejected? If I get expressed love, will I be told, when you're growing up, will you be told, you're kind of being too soft?
Mm.
Which some people I know have had that message similar messages. So there's that sense of, it's not okay to be sensitive, maybe more with men growing up, but not generalised. I know this with men and women as well. It's, I don't think we can overly generalise, but probably more from that sort of the old stereotype of, how men should be in terms of, not being overly expressive.
Mm. I agree, because they might not be seen as strong or something like that. But
yeah.
I think there might be difficulties in a lot of couple relationships for some partners to express love for all these reasons. But I think very frequently or more often, I think it's more difficult for partners to express feelings that are associated with being negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, so loving is not necessarily seen as being negative, right?
No.
Whereas being angry is.
Yeah.
And that is one area that I think very often is very problematic.
Yeah.
So that, if you are angry, if you're angry, then you run the risk of losing your partner. That's what a lot of people think or feel, that is too risky to express anger, because that's what they learned when they were growing up, that there's risk in conflict.
Yes, and I think growing up, it might not be the risk of, well, that losing your partner is not what you learn maybe when you're younger, but you learn that it's not okay to be angry, that being angry, maybe get punished for it. Being angry, maybe you're then blamed for upsetting other people because mm-hmm. your anger has caused someone else to be upset. So there's mm-hmm. that feeling that you shouldn't be angry. So as we talked about in a previous podcast, we put anger into our shadow and mm. it becomes that part that we try not to express. Mm. But as a result, we may see in other people more, but we don't.
Mm. Well, I think a lot, yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely true. But I think there's another dimension to anger, which is this idea of if I express my anger, if I don't express love or anything less than love to my partner, if I express a criticism, so to speak, or criticism is not quite the wrong word. If I express something that I'm not that I'm not satisfied with, that it doesn't address my emotional needs in the relationship, etc., then my partner will walk away because I'm too demanding. There's this fear of being too demanding or asking for too much that I often encounter.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes from again those early messages when we're younger of, it's not okay to be angry, and that essentially by subjugating that part of us, mm-hmm. we feel there's something not okay about me, mm-hmm. myself, if I do that. Mm-hmm. So there's something not okay with me. So by expressing in relationships later on, there's that sense that there's something not okay with me, so I've got to just show this part because ultimately, because I'm not okay, people mm-hmm. wouldn't love me if I showed who I really am. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily about that partner leaving, but there's that sense, I think, behind that, that actually fundamentally as a person, I'm not okay, mm-hmm. which would then ultimately, if I was to express that, would mean that I would be left, that I'm not really lovable. So I have to hide those parts that might be that unlovable bit and pretend they're not there. Mm-hmm. And then I won't risk losing my partner, if that
yes.
makes sense.
Yeah, 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 it makes sense. Or also this idea of also that if there's no harmony in this relationship, it must be at risk. Hmm. It's often this fantasy, I think, for lots of people that, there's got to be harmony in the relationship at all costs. Any kind of expression of dissatisfaction is a warning sign. It's a signal. There must be something fundamentally wrong here. So as long as I don't acknowledge that, as long as I don't press the red light here, things are okay. Yeah. So yeah. It's an avoidance in that way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so looking for harmony, and you know, some of that comes from, again, experiences when we're younger, mm-hmm. you know, if parents argued a lot, had conflict, and maybe saw them divorce, and mm-hmm. we see, well, you know, there's this risk. I've seen my parents split up because they argued, so this could happen to me, and so mm-hmm. desperately clinging on to something that isn't okay. Mm-hmm. So that could be one part, but I think also in messages we see in films and media, I mean, there's a strong kind of component where, you know, all the fairy tales with living that happy ever after. Mm. Like, as soon as you've dealt with those initial struggles that may lead to the relationship, then you should be happy forever.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. It's that kind of fantasy. So rather than thinking, what is it that is, you know, what is it that I can put on the table here in terms of working on an improvement in our relationship? How can we develop it further? Because there's something here that doesn't quite work for me. Mm. It's seen as a threat.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think also within that as well is the important thing which we talked about before is expressing dissatisfaction, also taking that boundary between acknowledgement that we may be dissatisfied by something that's due to our past.
Of course.
But it's not necessarily to do with the other person. So there's that issue, which is where the anger then leads into blame and how we express that, realising that actually often, you know, if you're not satisfied with something that I do, you know, it comes down to your stuff.
Of course it does. I'm so imperfect. Yeah. No, but absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is such an important point, isn't it, that you have to start with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. And of course, the things, you know, it's about that boundary, because obviously there's things that a partner might do that are not okay, and whether or not they realise it. So I think if they realise that they're doing this thing, that, you know, because people may do something like being abusive, calling names or whatever it might be, verbally abusive, belittling someone. You know, if someone realizes they're doing that, then, you know, that is abusive, and that's certainly never okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
People may do things without that realization as well. I mean, you know, somebody who grew up in a family where people kind of maybe had names for each other, which, you know, for them was just what they were used to, they may start to do that in their own family, and actually the other person never expresses that it's hurtful or upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be that sometimes that person may not realize. I think there are kind of, you know, different cases here, and it's knowing what really is to do with the other person, what's to do with our stuff as well. But then how do we express those things? Because either ones, we want to be able to express in a safe way.
Mm.
Whether it is to do with this person's behaviour, whether it's to do with something that I find upsetting about it, you know, it's how we safely express that and what stops us. Because a lot of the time, we don't express it, even if we know how to express it, because of that fear that we talked about, the fear that it will disrupt the relationship.
Mm. Well, and I think there's another dimension here, which is the issue around not really quite knowing what am I feeling.
Mm.
I think, you know, a lot of the time if you ask people, what are you feeling, they might come up with, like, might name, I mean, most people actually, if you ask them, name some emotions, name a range of emotions, they might come up with 5, 6, 7, 8, that's it. Right?
Yeah, because there are a 9.
Exactly. That's right. So, you know, they don't we don't have the vocabulary a lot of the time. We haven't got that sort of range. We haven't really been trained, so to speak, very often in terms of tuning in terms of having some sense of what it is that we are experiencing. And for some people, that's more pronounced than for others. Difficulty with this, yeah?
Well, I'd say some people don't actually know, really label how to label more than 2 emotions. I mean, you know, sometimes people get angry, but they don't know what the feeling is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of times people just are so unaware of it.
Yeah, or they might, you know, sadness, anger. Yeah, you might say sad, happy, angry.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Maybe frustrated, or just something like that. Get into that without knowing they are angry. So there's not even that awareness that they're feeling angry. They just have this expression.
Mm.
And then it's about tuning what is going on before you start to shout, before you scream. What's going on in your body? What's actually being experienced? Because only when you acknowledge that experience and that initial reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So because we have that, and something happens, maybe a partner does something, says something, maybe it's something else that's happened in a day. We have this feeling in our body, a sensory experience, that the first thing is we have to acknowledge that and be aware that that's there, that then leads on to maybe the shouting, or leads on to the sulking because we can't express the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even just knowing that feeling's there at the first place is key.
Mm. Yeah, and as you said, of course, feelings are embodied. Yeah, so they're emotions that arise from our body. So they're visceral experiences. And I think it can be, would you agree that it's possible to kind of learn to feel? To learn to develop a bit more of an understanding of the visceral experiences that you have.
You mean when you're older?
Anytime.
I think that's the thing, is if some people have an appreciation of this, then we can all learn it.
Exactly.
I mean, I think anything that anyone else experiences, we potentially can experience ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's possible for one other person, it's possible for us too, unless there's some physiological reason that we can't, which I think is very rare. There may be some cases where that is possible.
Mm.
But, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, so it can be learned. You can learn to feel.
Yeah, and let's look at it as well, is that the labels we give to emotions, those are all learned.
Of course.
Because, you know, humans weren't born with dozens of labels for emotions. These are things that we've categorized, these different ways of being. So clearly we have to learn these distinctions at some point, because you're not going to know them otherwise.
Mm.
And if you didn't learn it as a kid, then, you know, there's a point later on where it may be helpful to learn, what are you really feeling?
Yes, I think what we're talking about here is also learning to develop these nuances, to do this fine tuning. Mm. You might have an overall sense of, you know, in what category you are in terms of, is this a feeling that you experience as a positive feeling or a feeling you experience as a negative feeling? So, I mean, in and of itself, feelings are neither one or the other, but we we label them as such.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of, you have an overall sense of the category that you're in. But there's more to it. There's this sort of, as I say, this sort of the nuance of it. What is it really that I am experiencing here? And that might require a little bit of practice to really learn to do that kind of fine-tuning. But when you do, what a tool, right? What a tool you have, because then you can communicate that more effectively to other people and to your partner in particular.
Yeah, I'm wondering, just being clear about what you mean, because to me, there's two ways you could say that, because the nuance could be, am I feeling irritated or am I feeling angry, which may not actually be that important as a distinction.
No,
however,
we're talking about that.
But with what I think you're meaning, which I to me is important, is you may feel angry, but behind the anger is another emotion.
Exactly.
So it's not that there's a different type of anger. It's that we usually feel anger as a result of something else. Like it could be shame. It could be embarrassment. It could be sort of
hurt. Envy, jealousy. It could be all sorts of things. Sadness.
So it's thinking, you know, when your partner said or did this, and you got angry, before the anger, immediately after they said this, what was that initial feeling? What led to that anger? What's behind that anger? And I think sometimes asking that question, what's the emotion that's behind that? If you were to drop through the anger, almost rewind that movie of that experience, that very initial reaction that you have, what's that feeling? Is that kind of what you mean?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's often this distinction also between what's primary and secondary emotion here.
Yeah.
What's the initial emotion that you have? Yeah, so it's developing that kind of range to unpick this a little bit, to have a bit more of a sense of, you know, it's not just anger. There might be all sorts of other, as you say, underlying emotions that are felt initially.
Yeah.
So the more range you have there, the more you can kind of unpick that, the more you can also, first of all, you can understand yourself. And when you can understand yourself, that builds some strength, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That builds some strength in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of strength you can also then bring into the relationship.
Yeah. And then when it comes to expressing, you know, there are some emotions that I think, well, there's a time and place for everything.
Mm.
Like in terms of being overly loving, you know, most of the time with our partner, I think that can be a very positive thing. But there may be some context where it's not appropriate.
Mm.
So it's what's right. But I think that's more appropriate than with anger, thinking, well, if I'm not expressing anger, do I just go and, every time I feel a bit of anger, go and shout at my partner, which probably isn't the best way of handling it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say almost never the best way of handling it. So some emotions like anger, it may be that it's learning what triggers, like you said, what's behind that emotion, what triggers it, taking time to deal to a level where we are able to express that more safely. And sometimes with something like anger, that may be taking time to regulate our emotions first and then sharing that with our partner in a safe space in ways that we talked about before. So describing this situation very objectively. So when you said this and I experienced your voice as being louder, in my mind, I imagined that you were, you were thinking that I did X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what I felt was this.
Mm-hmm.
So you're describing it and saying what you imagined it to mean, because that's your interpretation, and how that led you to feel, and then moving to what you want.
Mm.
So doing it in a safe way, because if we're angry, the immediate thing is if I start getting angry with my partner, and often blaming, because blame and anger often go together, in my experience, is, you know, the other person's going to put their defences up.
Well, they have an emotional reaction.
Yeah,
well, an emotional reaction
as
well.
It's a natural thing, fight and flight response.
Yeah.
So finding that way to do it safely, you know, sometimes with the anger, I think is more appropriate. I mean, what are your thoughts of that in terms of expressing anger?
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs to be expressed, but in a way that the partner can hear it. So if you just, you know, if you just let rip, basically, and you shout down your partner, you're not going to go anywhere because all you are getting then is, you know, the defences are down, you know, the shutters come down. Your partner's is not going to react, is not going to be interested in what you have to say if they're being attacked, right? If they feel attacked. So I think it's important to express your anger, because the anger is there for a reason.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's a hurt here, there's pain. Somewhere along the line, you've experienced some pain. yeah. in this relationship, something the partner said or did was painful to you.
Yeah.
So that the partner needs to know about that.
Yeah.
But if it's communicate, you know, but it's the how can I be heard, mm. really?
Yeah.
And you can say it. And as you rightly say, I think it helps to sort of regulate, down-regulate a little bit so that you can say it in a way that it can be received.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And of course, that hurt, that pain may be related to experiences we've had before, mm. not always related directly to specific thing the partner says. And that's the challenge is
yes.
then it's about how you make this, take this forward. Mm. Is it about the partner changing everything that they do because of this very individual reaction due to your past experience? Mm. Or is it about finding a way to be aware, for both people to be aware this is what gets triggered and trying to find a way together mm-hmm. to help with that experience?
Yeah, absolutely, because we all have our triggers. I mean, that's entirely normal. You know, yeah. you will say or do something that is going to get me going because I have a memory, an implicit memory stored yeah. somewhere that reminds me of something that was unpleasant, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will have an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
And then off I go. But exactly, it's a question of what do we do here together?
Yeah.
You know, how can I rope my partner in here to mm. help me with that?
Yeah.
And I know this is very theoretical and mm. easily said. So in the moment, yeah. when it's a heated moment, it's very hard to do that. But what might also be important is then to remember, okay, the cat's out of the bag, the you know, emotions have been expressed vehemently and maybe in a way that wasn't particularly helpful. But then there's also some repair work that can mm. be done. There can also be a reflection on, right, that's interesting. I can be curious about my own strong emotional responses here.
Yeah.
I can be curious about why am I getting so worked up here? What's, you know, what's really going on? Who have I got in front of me? Is it you? Is it someone else from mm. the past? And I can also then maybe go back to my partner and say, I realize that, you know, actually what happened there in that moment was I had this really strong response, but really I was responding to some old material, my old material. Mm. Let me explain again why mm. I reacted the way that I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't, I think it's difficult in the moment sometimes to do that when you get carried away, when you just get triggered. It's automatic, right? Mm. It's quick. And sometimes we can't slow it down. If we can slow it down, great, because that gives us the capacity to have the kind of dialogue that you just described. But that doesn't. Sometimes that's not possible to always regulate so quickly and effectively in the moment.
Yeah.
But you can do it later.
Yeah.
You can pick it up again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the key thing is the importance of being able to express emotions mm-hmm. and finding out what maybe stops us and finding a safe way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not about expressing every single little emotion that comes up.
No,
I mean, sometimes people go over the top.
That can be like, overexpression.
Yeah, and that can be overexpression. But it's when we don't at all, and we think that that may be protecting a relationship, often that actually may drive a wedge in a relationship mm-hmm. in the long term mm-hmm. and can make things worse. Mm-hmm. By being able to safely express those emotions to our partner, both loving, both the emotions that we might give a label as negative, mm-hmm. you know, we can actually build a stronger relationship when we know how to do that safely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Great. So please tune in again next time and head over to our website, therelationshipmaze.com, where we have lots of free resources and our online conflict style quiz. And tune in next week.
Take good care until then. Bye.
Bye.